So I'm a sinner.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. I am a sinner. You're a sinner, yeah. Last week, Kyle shared the story of Jonah, how this man ran from God, how he reluctantly served and obeyed God, and how he was angry with God, most importantly, how he had an idol in his life, which was the temple. He was a sinful man. And previous to that, Alex spent a couple weeks talking about prayer and God's will. During those weeks, God started working in me and how I prayed. Now, Alex said a couple weeks ago in one of his sermons, when we're praying, we need to pray in a manner so that we submit and align ourselves with Jesus and his will. So over the past several weeks, I've been praying hard for God to give me wisdom in how I need to pray and what I need to pray for. Praying this for days, God started to reveal something to me. He started to reveal how I was praying for people, for peace in their lives. I tell you today that I'm a sinner, first off, because it's true. And I consistently seek forgiveness for that. But I say it mainly because God convicted me about prayer. When I was praying for people in my life, I was praying for my will to be done and not God's. Many of us in this room have had hurts in our lives, pain. And it depends on how we pray about it, if it's our will or God's will. But today is a day to turn away from all that pain, all the memories and all the evil in our lives, to gain peace. By obeying God, we will gain peace in our lives. Peace that is understanding through Scripture, a true peace from God. The passage today is going to be a portion of what we read for the Scripture reading this morning, Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8. I know Herb and Sandy went through, if anyone needed a Bible, that I hope that they got one to you guys. But as you turn to Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8, I want you to listen to this verse first. So as you turn there, John 16:33 says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Through Jesus, we may have peace. Through Jesus, we may have peace. Now follow along with me as I read Proverbs 3, 5 to 8. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bone." Praying through this passage, I noticed that Solomon, writing this, must have liked the number 3. From verses 5 to 8, he writes down 3 different things. And within those 3 things, there's 3 subpoints. He writes 3 commands, 3 warnings, and 3 promises for us to obey, to listen to, and to hold fast to. The first commandment is actually quite clear. It's in the first line of this passage. Trust the Lord with all your heart. This trust is a sense of actually security and safety, as if we're wrapped up in the arms of the Lord, and he's never looking to let go. For me, when I think of it, I think of it as a time when I was a child, waking up in the middle of the night, waking up from a nightmare, scared and alone. I walked into my parents' room, climbed into the bed with them, and felt so secure and safe that it didn't take more than a couple seconds for me to fall back asleep. I trusted my parents with all of my heart as a child in those moments of fear and loneliness. The heart in this verse represents an actual totality of our inner being. our minds, our emotions, our will. Everything we are and everything we have must be rested upon the Lord as our security. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart in order to gain peace. Second command here in this passage is in verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, the verb acknowledge here actually simply means to know. To know. So to know God, to know him. To know God exists is one thing to do. It is weak. But this passage, this verse, is trying to get across the idea that there's more intimacy in it than that. Then all we do, God can and should be known in it, in everything. To know God through all things brings us into greater fellowship with him. And also humbles us. To show it is all to show us that it is through God and not ourselves everything is possible. In all our ways we need to acknowledge him. Or find him in all that we do. With all our heart, with all our total being, we need to trust him. And the third command in this passage, fear him. Growing up, you know, I was an angel of the child, and my parents loved to brag about me. You can ask them when they come up in August. No, just kidding. No, actually, several times I was a punk. I was disciplined and spanked and grounded. But I never disagreed with how my father explained why he would discipline us. He would say, children need a healthy fear of their parents. A fear where they know discipline is to come if they do something bad. But also the knowledge that if someone ever did something to them, that they know that that person had something to be fearful of. One time I did something bad, and my mom tried to discipline me as well. And well, I didn't really fear my mom that much. So, while she was spanking me, I kid you not, I turned my head up and to look at her, and I started laughing. Yeah. Yeah, so I regretted that. later that evening, my dad came home from work. And that wasn't a fun time. I was sitting on the couch in the living room, and the front door opened, and I remember getting up and running to my room. Now, I loved my dad. I still do. And I know he loves me. But he took Proverbs 13:24 very seriously. It says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. I'm grateful, I'm beyond grateful for my father for doing that. It was the fear that I had in my dad that encouraged me to abstain from doing bad things growing up. And it's the same when it comes to our Heavenly Father. Proverbs 16:6 says, by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. By the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. To fear God is also to trust him with all our being. That he'll always be there for us, whether good or bad, and to know him. To see him in all we do, good or bad. He will always bring peace into our lives when we follow and obey him. These commands help us in life when we follow them. And the warnings Solomon gives us can also help when we heed them, when we listen to them. The first warning we need to listen to and act upon is do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. Many of us have come to understand this truth. Unfortunately, for our own failures. See, do not lean in the original text here is talking about putting all your weight upon something. Now, I'm around 200 pounds. And if I had Tori come and stand up here and I ran and jumped at her, and I had the understanding that she could catch me and she'd be fine, I'd be humbled. Exactly. Yes. And I have common sense that I'm not going to do that because I know if I did, I'd hurt her. I don't want to hurt her. But also, I don't want to totally live my life based on my common sense or my own understanding and knowledge. Rather, I want to bank it all on God and the wisdom that He has, that He produces in our lives. His ways are better than our ways and must be chosen when they seem to contradict our earthly human wisdom. It's not wise to lean on our own understanding, and it's not even wise to be in our own eyes, which is actually our second warning in this passage. Verse 7 starts with, "Do not be wise in your own eyes." This warning hits not only knowledge, but that of pride. To be humble. Fools say, "Let me think. I can figure this out if you just give me time." And God says, do not be wise in your own estimation. Everywhere in Scripture, when it talks about being wise and prideful, that person is usually referenced as a fool. For example, in Proverbs 12:15, it actually puts it in a way that I really enjoy because it's just so straightforward. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. To be a wise person, you first have to be a listening person, which is often hard. You have to swallow your pride and sit quietly and listen to what people say. You have to listen and seek proper advice as well. In James 1:5, God honors and seeks the one who admits he does not have the wisdom he needs and who seeks it from him. God's wisdom is above everything we will ever be able to bring to the table, which is why the book of Proverbs was written. It is a book of wisdom. We as humans have no wisdom given to us besides by God. And the only way to receive this wisdom is to follow him and obey him. And upon receiving that wisdom, we are better capable of following this third warning. That's to turn away from evil. To turn away from something that we know is evil successfully is actually quite empowering. To know that God is with you in that moment, helping you say no. In even better light, we see that it was how we are obeying God. It was how we are obeying God that turned us from that evil. As I read earlier, Proverbs 16, verse 6, by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. I stayed away from evil, bad things growing up as a kid because I was fearful of my father. He loved me and I loved him. I knew I was safe and he would end up forgiving me. But I knew if I did something bad, I would be disciplined for it. Likewise, our relationship with God, our Father in heaven, is the same. We will have consequences. So you cannot love and fear God while turning toward evil. To turn toward evil is to actually belittle God and his power. That's something that's actually hit me, especially praying through this passage. To turn toward evil is to belittle God and his power. Through praying my will to see other people be benefited before God's will be done in their lives was belittling God and his power. The verse of the day today is actually Matthew 6:13, another portion of the Lord's Prayer. says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our deliverance from evil can happen through turning away from it with the motivation of the healthy fear we have in God. To not turn away from evil and not listen to these warnings is red flags in our lives. Flags that we should look at and pay attention to. But we are often blinded by our own wants and needs. If we only obey the commands and do not heed these warnings, we will never have true peace in our lives. Which is why we need to obey. We need to listen. And we need to hold fast to the promises God gives us. Especially the promises here that Solomon reveals to us in this passage. He reveals three promises. That of a straight path, healing of our flesh, and refreshment to our bones. Verse 7 says here, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. By obeying the command to know God and acknowledge him in everything we do, we partake in the promise of a straight path. Now, if I were to ask any of you, after you started following Jesus, did your life get any easier? What would you say? Yes and no. Yeah. And no. Yeah, I know my answer would be no. And yes. The fact that my life became more bearable with Jesus. And I no longer lacked in purpose in my life. A straight path for a Christian is a path of purpose and obedience to God. Imagine walking somewhere. You don't know where you're going, but you're walking forward. The only things you know are that there's dangerous animals on this path that you're walking, deep pits you can fall into, and there's no signs anywhere for guidance. Yet you start walking that trail in another day after you start following Jesus. Now there are signs leading to a specific destination. Signs telling you where those dangerous animals are. And even ladders already in those pits that you could fall into. We're still in the same difficult road in life that we faced before. But we have guidance and ways out that God has now put there. The point here is that once we follow Jesus, our straight path is that of guidance in a world that is broken and full of pits. When we obey God and listen to God, we not only receive guidance, safety, but we receive healing and refreshments as well. Verse 8 in this passage says, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Now this would come as no surprise to some people. Scripture is very clear when it reveals the negative effects of unconfessed sins in our lives. In Psalms 32, verses 3 to 4, it says here, for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Now I'm blessed to say that I've seen healing like this before. My first year of Bible school, I was home for Christmas, and we had a family friend that was sick for a while. And he went before some elders, got anointed with oil, and they prayed healing over him after he confessed his sins. And a couple weeks later, he was given the news that whatever was causing that sickness in him was completely gone, just disappeared. We definitely praise God for that. The healing of the flesh, though, isn't just talking about the body, but the outward parts as well. How we're treating others, how we're treating ourselves. Now, we've all been hurt in one way or another by people, different situations, misunderstandings. But through obedience to God, we gain peace and healing over those things. Through God, we gain healing. We're loved. He loves us. He cares for us. Now, the second portion of verse 8, though, talks about the refreshment of your bones. It has a deeper meaning here in the second portion of this verse. The word bones in the original Hebrew actually is translated as marrow. Marrow, the most inward part of yourself, which signifies the most inward part. But more focusing on the heart, the mind, and the soul. When we are right with God, when we align ourselves with God and His will, we're not only physically here healed, but we have a refreshment to our soul. We're healed in that manner of life as well. And it's interesting to look at it that way, because it helps us remember that our spiritual well-being and our physical health are intimately connected together. They're intimately connected together. See, God promises to guide us, heal us, and refresh us according to His will. If we obey these three commands, to trust in the Lord, to acknowledge Him, to fear Him, the warnings, the three warnings, and to hold fast to the promises that He gives us in our lives, we will have peace and comfort and contentment. Let me read John 16:13 again, the verse I read before we started. I've said these things to you, that in Jesus you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. Let's pray together as the worship team comes up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for who you are, how you love us, the peace you've brought and you can bring into our lives. Lord, today I ask you to show us all how we can better obey you, how we can heed your warnings from Scripture, and take part in your promises, so that in the name of Jesus Christ, we may have peace in our lives. Amen.